What's up, guys, and welcome to the layup. I haven't really been posting in a while, but I'm trying to get back on track with that. This week has been a sad week in the NBA, so we'll just start off with that, with the death of Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter Gigi Bryant, and those seven others that were on that helicopter crash Sunday morning in California. But everyone in the NBA has really been expressing their deepest condolences, and fans all around. Many tributes, nice tribute from Staples Center Friday night against the Blazers. Very nice ceremony they had for Kobe and Gigi. And even all around the NBA, not just the Lakers. It was very nice for all of those teams. The 24-second violation, the 8-second backcourt violation, all of those things really were tributes to him. A lot of players wearing 24. Spencer Dinwiddie switched his number to 26 because he was 8 and he thought he had to. But Kobe Bryant, still one of the best basketball players of all time. 5 NBA championships, 15 All-Star games, 4 All-Star game MVPs, 2 Finals MVPs. He had an amazing career. Played for the Lakers his whole career. Played first half of his career with wearing the number 8. Second half of his career wearing number 24. Gigi Bryant was only 13 and played for Mamba Academy, who was coached by Kobe Bryant. But she had a bright future. She was on her way, on the way to a game, so it's very sad. Alright, now that we got the sad part out of the way, we can talk about the NBA and the NBA and what's happened in the past week. I mean, definitely hard to play that Sunday and even the Monday, but players pushed through. Some didn't play, like Melo. I think that was the reason he didn't play. Another thing that got revealed, I think not this week, but still, before Kobe had died. The All-Star team got voted. So we already knew about the East All-Star. The starters were Giannis and LeBron were the captains. Then you got Anthony Davis, James Harden, Embiid. I don't know if Embiid really deserves it, but we'll get into snubs and stuff later. Kawhi, Luka Doncic, Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, Trae Young, and that is your starting lineup. So that includes 4. That includes 4 foreign players, which is great. 4 out of the 10. So that's great representation. The All-Star reserves got a lot of heat. I think they got it right with the starters. Did I say Kemba Walker and Trae Young? Yeah, I did. Okay. I'll just read them all, and then we'll get into it later. So Bam Adebayo, Brandon Ingram, Chris Paul, Rudy Gobert, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Nikola Jokic, Ben Simmons, Kyle Lowry, Domantas Sabonis, Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, Chris Middleton, and Russell Westbrook. See, while that is a very talented roster, so now we're going to go into it. I definitely agree with all the starters. I don't know if I agree with Trae Young being a starter, just because his team is last, like, his team is, like, one of the worst teams in the NBA. They're literally last. They have the worst record in the NBA. Second worst. Warriors had the worst. Tail 2 years for them. I don't know. When it comes down to team winning, I really don't know if that's the guy you start. But, I mean, he is having a fantastic year. 29 points per game. 9 assists per game. And 4.5 rebounds per game. First time All Star. A lot of first time All Stars in these starters. Siakam, Doncic, were a first time All Star. So was Bam Adebayo, Brandon Ingram, and Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, as well as Domantas Sabonis and Tatum. So, all right, we'll get into the reserves because I mostly agree with the starters. Bam Adebayo is having a fantastic season: 15 points a game, four assists a game, and 10 rebounds a game. He's having a fantastic year for a fantastic team, and he is the second best player on that team, arguably. I don't know who would be better. There's Jimmy Butler than Bam Adebayo. And he's really filled in well for Hassan Whiteside. He's young. This is third year. He's going to have a bright future. He's having averaging career highs in all those categories: points, assists, and rebounds. See, this is a brand... I agree with Bam Adebayo being an all-star. He's having a fantastic year for a very good team. Brandon Ingram. I really don't know about Brandon Ingram. Just because he's having a fantastic year. New Orleans is in 11th place. And I'm arguing, I think John Morant should be the all-star. He's a rookie, so. I mean, there's like almost like a formal rule, like no rookies in the all-star game. But he's averaging 17 points a game, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, and a steal. And he's leading that Memphis team, who does not have a talented roster. They have a young roster, but not at all the roster Brandon Ingram has. I mean, obviously Zion hasn't been back. He just got back. But they have Lonzo Ball, Favors, Josh Hart, Drew Holiday, and they're three spots behind Memphis. And Brandon Ingram is having a better year, right? And I guess the way that if Trae Young gets in, then Brandon Ingram deserves to get in because they're both having great years but playing for bad teams, right? But that situation happens, you gotta let John Morant in, right? You don't let, like, you let Devin Booker in. Like, Devin Booker, like, he's been consistently snubbed. I mean, he plays for a really bad team, and he has for a few years now. But he still is one of the best scorers in the NBA. And it's 26, almost 27 points a game, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists. Basically carrying that Suns team. They are 12th spot. But if you're telling me that Brandon Ingram and Trae Young can be all-stars, then why can't Devin Booker? Like, it's a spiral effect. Like, all of them or none of them, right? Chris Paul, I agree with 100%. He's leading that OKC Thunder team. Kind of like Ja Morant. Not as great of a roster as some other teams that are behind them, like Portland, San Antonio, New Orleans, and even Sacramento. So I agree, he does deserve that. And maybe even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander could have deserved this. Either Shai or Danilo Gallinari, because it's not just Chris Paul. I mean, Danilo Gallinari is averaging almost 20 points a game. And same thing with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, averaging 19.5 points a game with 6 rebounds and 3 assists. So, but I do agree with that Chris Paul. Someone from the Thunder had to go, and Chris Paul does win the popularity voting there. Utah Jazz getting 2 All-Stars this year. I do 100% agree with that. They're 4th place in the West. Had a slow start, but still playing very good basketball after that Jordan Clarkson trade, who's been amazing for them. 15 points a game right now. Scored 37 in that loss against Denver a couple days ago. The big question for the Jazz, we'll get into their All-Stars in a minute, is why Mike Conley's not producing. Like, they're not losing, like, but he's not really being that All-Star. He's averaging 13 points a game. I won't say they need him to do that, because they're fourth in the league, in the West, but still a bit confusing after that huge trade. They said, don't forget about Utah, Utah's still there. That was all because of Mike Conley, and now it's almost like Mike Conley's, he's there, he's there, but he's not even having, like, a great assist year, like, four assists a game. Like, that's not even, like, I don't know, something's just off with him. But Rudy Gobert is having a fantastic year, 15-15. So, I mean, that's hard to do. And he's having a great impact on the defensive end, like, always, like, probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year again. 2 blocks per game and almost 15 rebounds per game. Same thing, I agree with Donovan Mitchell's too, because, I mean, you have to give them two for how well they're playing. So I agree with both of them. Donovan Mitchell averaging almost 25 a game, 4 rebounds and 4 assists, and about a steal, and leading this Jazz team. But it'll be interesting to see what happens to this Jazz team by the trade deadline, if they'll try and trade some sort of guy like Ingles, maybe. I don't know who they'll want to trade, if they do. They might stay content with the roster they have now. I just don't know if this is a winning roster in playoff time. But we'll see, right? And then the next one is Damian Lillard. This has kind of been the surprise of the year, how almost awfully the Blazers have been playing. Not as of late. They're in a 4-game winning streak. They just beat L.A. L.A. wasn't really in any condition to play there. But the pickup of Melo, I'm really liking that pickup. He seemed to be a negative for teams last year. Then he kind of started to appreciate playing on teams, right? Now he's having a great impact, 16 points a game, 6 rebounds for them. Just that other score to get the ball out of Lillard and McCollum's hands. Damian Lillard's having a incredible season, almost 30 points a game, 4 rebounds, and 8 assists. His last 3 games have been 51, 48, and 36. And they were all 10-plus assist games. So, and that's against good teams. That's against Houston, where they won 125-112. Against L.A., in L.A., where they won 127-119. And then against Utah, where they won by 17. So, that's 51 points against Utah. A very good defensive team, right? So, he definitely deserves that. I'm liking that all-star nod. Hopefully, they'll improve there. But they'll definitely improve. They just got off to a really shaky start. Then we have Nikola Jokic, 100% deserved. Nothing really to say there. The Nuggets, third place in the West. Jokic having another unreal season, almost. Last year was his coming out, and I feel like he'll be at this All-Star game almost every year, if not every year, in the next couple years, averaging 20, 10, and 6. So almost, like, around flirting with a triple-double almost every night, right? His last game was 39 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists. I mean, for someone 7-foot, 285 to do that, it's incredible. Especially being drafted 41st. Like, Nuggets are playing well. When they get Jamal Murray back, they'll be back where they need to be. Just a couple things to clean up. But the Murray injury has kind of hurt them a bit. Michael Porter Jr. has been playing very well. I like his impact on their team a lot. Gary Harris is there, but he's not trying to do too much. I like him as more of a role player. 10 points a game. Good impact. Another all-star reserve is Ben Simmons, who I think deserves this. Almost, if Philly would have two all, if the NBA said, Philly, you have one all-star, I say it's Ben Simmons. I don't think it's Joel Embiid, because without Joel Embiid, they're winning basketball games. I mean, they lost in Boston to the Celtics, so with Embiid, and that's a game that they could have won, right? They beat Boston and Philly without Embiid. But, I mean, not really showing up in those big games. In Boston, 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 1 assist. I mean, if he wants to be that big player, big-time shot maker, then that's what he has to do. Simmons is having a fantastic season, being the best player on the team right now. 16 points a game, 7 rebounds, and 8 assists, flirting with a triple-double almost every night. So I think he deserves that one. Al Horford is starting to play a bit better. Oh, sorry. He's starting to play a little bit better. Al Horford is. Being that Al Horford guy, doesn't have to score a lot. I like this Philly team. I don't like them. I hate the Sixers, but, I mean, I like their roster. They'll figure it out by playoff time. If they don't, look to see some changes in the offseason. If they go out in the second round again, I don't know if Brett Brown keeps his job. That's just how the NBA works. I like Brett Brown as a coach. I like him a lot. That's just how the NBA works. I mean, they haven't had much playoff success in the last couple years, so I can't say I'd be surprised if he got out. If he was out, I wouldn't be surprised. And then a couple more All-Stars for you. Kyle Lowry, fantastic year. That's 2 All-Stars for the Raptors. Kyle Lowry is averaging 19.5 points a game and 7.3 assists per game. This is 6th All-Star and reigning NBA champion. I love what the Raptors are doing right now. I mean, a lot of people coming into this year were like, they'll be a solid 5-6 team. And a lot of people thought, oh, Pascal Siakam's going to have a jump. He could win most improved player again, like back-to-back years. Like, that'd be crazy. Right now, he's averaging 24 points a game, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. And he's really leading that team. I also like what Kyle Lowry's doing. A lot of those guys. Serge Ibaka finding his spot back again. Just a little bit under 16 points a game. But I like this Toronto team. Can they win in the playoffs? That's the question. We don't know. They've been able to get big wins against good teams, I will say. And hopefully, if they stay in that 2 spot right now, so say the playoffs started today, right? Philly has a lot to figure out. Boston still has a lot to figure out, right? They need their... So the trade deadline's next week, right? If the playoffs started today, Toronto would be playing Brooklyn, who has an under 500 record. And their best player is Kyrie, who gets hurt every single, like, week. And if the playoffs started today, the only team in the East that really has nothing really to figure out, they know what they're doing, is Milwaukee, which makes sense. 42-7. And I really like the Bucks right now. They also got 2 All-Stars. They got Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton deserving of that. 20 points a game. Kind of quiet. More quiet than last year. Last year was definitely a breakout year for him as that second player kind of stepped over Eric Bledsoe. Eric Bledsoe stepped back. They were both fine with it. Eric Bledsoe's now that third scorer. Kind of that big bull, like, not a bull, like that big body who needs, like, who's like the intense guy. So they kind of switched roles a little bit. Chris Middleton's still an amazing defender. Back-to-back All-Star for Chris Middleton. Another guy is Domantas Sabonis, who's really leaded the Pacers to... Who's really leaded the Pacers, like, without Oladipo, right? So I knew that Sabonis would be able to make this step, but to be an All-Star, he definitely is an All-Star, because he's been the one carrying them right now without Oladipo. I mean, he's averaging 19 points a game, 18 points a game, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists. So he has a very good impact, and this is good. The Pacers held their ground without Oladipo, right? So now Oladipo's back, has like a couple few steps to take. I see a little bit of Gordon Hayward in his game. When I watched the game last night, I saw he was a little bit hesitant to jump, but not as much as Hayward was last year. But they're both very devastating injuries from last year. Another guy, Jason Tatum, who absolutely deserves this. There was the question whether Jaylen Brown or Tatum. And it's like, Kemba Walker's obviously the all-star. He's a very popular player, having a great season, being that steady scorer, that guy who closed the games out. I don't know who deserves it more. Tatum deserves it. So does Brown. But no team, unless they're the Warriors, get three all-stars like that. Warriors got four. Yeah, I don't know why. But Tatum and over Brown, I don't think there's, like, they're both very good at what they do. Brown is more of the, like, the athletic, like, bully the small guys guarding him. Because, remember, Brown is a shooting guard, so he's getting guarded by smaller guards. So, against, in Philly, he'll be guarded by Josh Richardson, who's not too small, but in Milwaukee, he'll be guarded by either Wesley Matthews or Eric Bledsoe. So he's got that size advantage. And then Tatum's just an attacker who's been very consistent this year. 21.5 points a game, 3 assists, and 7 rebounds. First-time All-Star for a very good Celtics team is third place in the East. Jimmy Butler, 100% deserves this, leading this Heat team to fourth place in the East. I don't think anyone really saw this coming, for the Heat to have two All-Stars and be in this position ahead of the 76ers and ahead of, like, Pacers. I don't think anyone saw this one coming. But good for Jimmy Butler. Kind of revitalized his career. Not that he needed to, but he was getting many questions of whether he was a good leader or not in Philly. Just smacked the Philadelphia 76ers yesterday. So he showed them that they shouldn't have traded him. They should have pushed to keep him, but he's a very good leader and deserves this. Another guy, Russell Westbrook, 26 points a game, 7 assists, and 8 rebounds per game. So this might be the first year in 3 years. That's insane that he won't be averaging a triple-double. So for that to happen, it's crazy. And if he does, 4 straight years, we're watching a legend. We already are. Okay, so we got the All-Star game. All-Star is going to be fun. They're still not settled for the 3-point contest and all that stuff. They don't know. Rising Stars game, not much to talk about there. Just all the young guys from the World team and the USA team. That's in a couple of weeks, right? So now we're going to talk about something that's like kind of like next week. That would be the trade deadline. Alright, so we're talking about everyone that's really going to be on the move. So Iguodala is trying to get traded out of Memphis, right? I don't know. Memphis is in 8th place. They have a winning culture there. I mean, with their young roster, they could make a playoff push, and a veteran like Iguodala could really help lead them in the locker room, but Iguodala is not willing to play for them for some reason, which I don't know why. And Iguodala doesn't want to play in Memphis, and Memphis doesn't want Iguodala to play there. But if Iguodala would just play, Memphis would love him. But he's having such a bad attitude. I don't know if any other teams are going to want him. I mean, they're talking about him going to the Lakers, possibly the Clippers, Sixers, Heat are rising. But we'll see what happens with Iguodala. I wouldn't be surprised, because he said he's sitting out the rest of the year if he doesn't get traded. I wouldn't be surprised if Memphis can't find a trade for him, but we'll see. Kevin Love also on the trade block. This is an interesting one, because there's not many teams that are like, I want Kevin Love. Blazers would take him, but they'd have to give up a lot of assets. They got a lot of young guys, Nasir Little, Bol Bol does not play for them. He plays for the Nuggets, my bad. Who else? Anthony Simons, Gary Trent Jr., Zach Collins, like a lot of young guys. And they can't be giving up a big player just for that. Robert Covington also should be on the move. There's talking about reuniting him with the 76ers, possibly the Lakers, a team that needs like shooting. Luke Kennard, Pistons and the Suns are discussing a deal. He's a very talented scorer from Duke, so very well, like a matured player. He'll be good for whoever gets him. He's young, third-year player. Marcus Morris, also a curious case. A lot of teams want him, like the Lakers, the Clippers. He's a scorer, and he's been leading the Knicks this year in scoring. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But last year you saw for the Celtics, he was like the most consistent guy. So I think a team goes to trade for him. I don't know who it is. I don't know who's willing to give up picks or assets. Not sure. And then the Celtics need a big man, right? So it could be Capella. It could be Andre Drummond. I just don't think they give up Hayward. Hayward is one of their biggest players. If Hayward, like, in the playoffs, when the Celtics are going to struggle in the playoffs. I'm a Celtics fan. I'm realistic. If they have to get through Milwaukee, they can't just rely on Kemba, Tatum, and Brown. They're going to have to have four guys on the floor who you can give the ball to, and they can all score on their own. The thing that was wrong with that last year, Hayward wasn't 100%. Brown was coming off the bench and was not nearly as good as he is this year. Tatum did not have as much freeness as he did in his first year as a rookie. Got more speculation around his game. Kyrie kind of intimidated them, I want to say. But in the playoffs, when they have to play Milwaukee, when they have to play Philly, they're in Philly and Milwaukee, and the crowd is going crazy, and they need a bucket, it's going to be Gordon Hayward. So don't trade him. That's my opinion as a Celtics fan. I wouldn't trade him. It's very interesting to see what happens with that, especially the trade deadline coming up so quickly. But I really don't know. They're also talking about Drew Holiday being on the move. New Orleans is in, like, that middle part where it's like, should we trade him? Should we not? Like, not should we trade him, should we not. More like, should we win now or win later? Like, New Orleans, if they make the playoffs, with Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Drew Holiday, Derek Favors, the shooting of J.J. Redick, the athleticism of Jackson Hayes, they're going to be trouble. Like, if L.A. has to see them, or some team, like, if they climb up to, like, the sixth seed and they have to see Utah, I don't know if Utah can beat them in a 7-game series. That's if they don't trade Holiday. They have a lot of young guys. I don't know if they need to win now. But if they buy into that, I don't think they trade Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is the best player on that team right now. Forget about Brandon Ingram. Drew Holiday is the best player on that team. Okay, Brandon Ingram's averaging 25 points a game. But Drew Holiday is the best player on that team. Drew Holiday is most likely the best defender on that team. Most likely the best. Lonzo Ball might be a better passer. But anyway, Drew Holiday has a very good impact on the Pelicans. The road's not going to get any easier for them. They're in 12th place. They have an all-star, maybe even two. But they have to face Milwaukee today. They had to play in Houston and lost. And lost. Then they have to play Portland. Then they have to play Portland again. And then they play the Lakers. Then the Lakers again. Then the Mavs. Then the Heat. Then the Jazz. Then Clippers. Like, it's not an easy schedule for them. So if they trade someone for Drew Holiday, it's not just going to be for Robert Covington. It's going to be like a Drew Holiday for Kevin Love. That's what it's going to be. but it won't be Jrue Holiday for Luke Kennard or Jrue Holiday for Marcus Morris. I don't think that's it. I think it'll be Jrue Holiday for a big player, a big time player. And then why don't we talk about just each team a little bit for like 5 minutes? Not each team for 5 minutes. We'll talk about each team. All of these teams for 5 minutes. Okay. So we'll start with Milwaukee. We'll try and do this quickly. We'll start with Milwaukee. Not really much to say. I mean, with the roster they have Giannis, Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton. Very talented roster. The two Lopez brothers. And they have a great bench, very deep. Pat Connaughton's playing well. Dante DiVincenzo getting rotational minutes. So I like Milwaukee. They're a very consistent team. I also like Toronto right now. 11-game winning streak. Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol kind of forming that big three. And they'll only get better. But Kyle Lowry's expiring. And Fred VanVleet looks to be that next Kyle Lowry guy. And then the Celtics. I really like the Celtics right now. Well, obviously, I'm a Celtics fan, but I like the way they're playing right now. They're playing as a team. That Atlanta game was a little too close, a little bit too many mistakes, but Brad will clean that up, I'm sure. I like Jaylen Brown right now. He's attacking. Edwards will be interesting. Gordon Hayward, they're going to need his scoring. Cantor is very good right now. Coming off the bench, giving them good minutes. Smart. Marcus Smart. Tatum, the all-star. Tice is filling good minutes in. Kemba. Yes. Miami. They don't really lose at home. I think they're like 21-2 or something at home. 22-3 at home. They lost to Boston. They lost to the Clippers and some other team. But they play good against good teams. They haven't beaten the Celtics yet. Celtics are 2-0 against them. But I like Jimmy Butler. Myers Leonard is having a good year, filling in very nicely at that backup center position. Bam Adebayo, Derek Jones Jr. I mean, they have a lot of young guys who are willing to play their role. Harrow, Duncan Robinson is a great shooter. And then you got the Pacers, who just got Oladipo back. That'll take some time. You got Sabonis, who's great. You got Miles Turner, who's obviously still developing. Malcolm Brogdon and Jeremy Lamb have proven to be very good pickups in the offseason. The two Holiday brothers are great, great shooters, scorers, everything. TJ Warren was also a great pickup, almost 19 points a game. That's what he does best. He scores. He'll get a bucket for them. Philly, still got a lot of things to clean up. Are they going to trade Ben Simmons? Are they going to trade Al Horford? Are they going to trade Tobias Harris? Like, there's a lot of questions. Who's going to be the guy that scores at the end of the game? I think it's Tobias Harris. They double-team Embiid. Ben Simmons can't shoot. Al Horford is not a big-time late-game player. They got a lot to figure out. Same thing with Brooklyn. A lot to figure out. Do they want to win now? Do they make a trade? Or do they wait till next year when KD comes back? I think they wait till next year. I don't think that they have a roster to go and win a championship and trade one of their young guys like LeVert or Dinwiddie or Prince. But if Kyrie keeps getting injured, I don't know if they stay in the playoff race. I just don't know. I mean, Chicago is only like four games behind them. So I don't know. It depends. Really. Orlando, kind of quiet team right now, quietly in 8th place. Consistent scoring from Vucevic. Everyone on that team, it's kind of the same team as last year. Fournier's good. Everyone's very consistent. They're a good team. They'll maybe make the playoffs, I don't know. Chicago, rising team. Zach LaVine, very talented. Lowry Markkanen. Chris Dunn's out for 2 weeks with the MCL sprain. But they have a very young roster. I don't know if this is their year, but they are definitely getting there. Washington is also. John Wall just keeps getting injured. I don't know if they trade him. Bradley Beal should have been an all-star. yeah, he should have been an All-Star. But I like the way Bertans is playing. Maybe he'll be a good trade target. Maybe they'll get a better center, maybe. But they're developing. I like playing with them in 2K, so. The Pistons their team is mostly trade targets. You got Andre Drummond, Luke Kennard, Markieff Morris, Derrick Rose. I mean, they're all in trade talk right now, so we can't really judge this team right now. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs. It depends on what they do at the deadline, whether they trade Rose for a big-time player or draft picks. It depends. Rose said he wants to play in Detroit, though. He's playing very well this year. Then the Hornets were playing great basketball to start. The first, 2 months of the year, playing very good basketball. I like Miles Bridges. Just keep playing them. I mean, you're not trying to win now. Just develop them. Miles Bridges, Devontae Graham, Terry Rozier. Although they're saying they might trade Rozier. I doubt it. Highly doubt it. Knicks, just being the Knicks. RJ Barrett's having a good year. But other than that, they're just the Knicks. Nothing really to say there. They're not the worst team in the league, though. So that title goes to the Golden State Warriors. Then you got the Cavs. Cavs, same thing, developing, kind of just playing for player development. Same thing with Atlanta. Although Atlanta has produced an all-star starter, actually. Then we go to the West. Lakers have a lot to figure out, but I think they're mostly there. They got a lot of shot blockers. LeBron, AD, that duo is working out well. The shooting of Danny Green, Avery Bradley's defense. They're a good team. They're a fun team to watch. Clippers have started to figure it out a little bit, I would say. They've won 2 in a row. 8-2 over the last 10. A couple, question marks, but Kawhi's consistent when he plays. PG just came back. I think Patrick Beverley's healthy. Lou Williams is healthy. They have a really good roster. Come playoff time, I mean, just get them high enough so that they don't have to face a team like Utah. If they go into the playoffs and they have to play Oklahoma City or Dallas, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. Or Memphis or Portland, I don't know. But Portland's going to be scary because they're so inconsistent right now that to finish the season, they're probably going to be around the 7 or 8 spot. The way they're playing right now, we're almost halfway through the year. They're not even above 500. But Portland come playoff time with Melo, CJ McCollum, Hassan Whiteside, and Damian Lillard. I don't know about that. Then you got the Nuggets. Nuggets, very good team, consistent. When they get Jamal Murray back, they'll definitely be a really good team, scary team. You don't want to see them in the first or second round, right? Then the Jazz, making steps. Just got to get Mike Conley more involved. Bojan Bogdanovic, very good. Same with Joe Ingles. They got the two All-Stars, Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. The trade for Jordan Clarkson was amazing. Played well ever since. Then you got the Rockets. Russ and Harden duo has worked mostly, I'd say. Harden was in a bit of a slump lately. Westbrook picked it up. We'll see what they do with Clint Capella. I don't see them trading them unless he requests a trade. But not sure, so. Then the Mavericks, very good basketball team. Kristaps Porzingis filling in nicely for Luka Doncic. I think he's out for a week, or a couple. But they're a good team, and they'll develop. Tim Hardaway Jr. is great. Oklahoma City, a surprise team, 30-20, so really above 500. I see them making the playoffs. Chris Paul, All-Star. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari. Great. Don't trade Chris Paul. I know they're obviously not going to win the championship, but they can still make strides and attract free agents. Memphis playing very well. Surprise team. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. It's all about development. If they get some playoff experience, even better. Even if they lose in the first round. If they have to go through a team like LA, great experience for them. Blazers, they'll figure it out. They'll probably end around the 5 or 6 seed, but you don't want to see them in the first round. Then the Spurs got a lot to figure out as well. With DeMar DeRozan, I don't know if that streak goes to an end, but there's a lot of talent in the West, like there always is, so we'll see. New Orleans, I don't see them trading Jrue Holiday. I don't see them in a win-now situation. I think they wait till next year, attract a few more free agents, develop Zion, and then keep all those guys. Lonzo Ball is playing great. Same with Brandon Ingram, all-star. Suns, I don't know, not playing as bad as they did last year. Aaron Baines is good. Devin Booker's good. DeAndre Ayton's good. They just need to get some more players. They got a lot of young talent, but hopefully in 3 years they'll be really good. Kings, yeah, a bit of a surprise team that haven't been really good at all. De'Aaron Fox is really good. Same with Buddy Hield, but not having great years. Same thing with Minnesota. They started off very well. They're obviously trying to deal Covington. Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins have been a bit disappointing that they're playing for such a bad team right now. Maybe they'll get traded, or maybe, hopefully, they'll get D'Angelo Russell from this next team, the Golden State Warriors, our last team we're talking about. D'Angelo Russell is having a great year, getting some good trade mark, getting a good trade market. They're not going to make the playoffs. Yeah, they're not. Even if Steph comes back in March and they still haven't won 20 games, they're not going to make the playoffs. So I think they wait till next year. They say they're going to track Giannis. I have no idea. Thanks for listening to The Layup. And how'd you like my new mic? Just got it. It's new and it works pretty well. So I'll be posting more often. Thanks for listening.